Let me do this here now. Let me share, and this is, will be just briefly, but our church motto, our church motto. Turn with me to John 1. So this is just something brief. I think it's important for us to be reminded when we, when First State Baptist Church was started, the name of the church is First State Baptist Church. First State because we're in the first state, Baptist because we're Baptist, and church because we're a church. And so there are many elements as far as the church that, you know, I've spent some time talking about. We are an independent congregation. We are fundamental in doctrine. There are many things that would describe the church. But as I was praying before the start of the church, I was thinking, what would I like the church to be known for? What should First State Baptist Church be known for? Well, I think that we could say, I heard this quote, so it didn't originate with me, but I remember something that was helpful to me. The greatness of a church will not be found in its size, but it will be found in its sort. All right, there's a difference there, right? So the greatness of a church is not found in its size or its buildings, but in its sort. What kind of church is it? And as we think about the sort of church, I think we could say that a church that resembles the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that would be better for us to see a church formed, to not look at the church's worth based on the grandeur of its buildings or the amount of people it houses, but based on its likeness to Jesus Christ. Now, in John chapter 1, we know it's the great chapter here. There's really much in this chapter, but we begin with the deity of Christ in the beginning of the chapter, that Jesus Christ came as a light that shined in darkness. John the Baptist was there to bear witness of the light. And then the Bible tells us that, let's pick it up in verse 10. He says this, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Now, interesting, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him." The truth that the world was made by him, that means that he is outside the world, right? The world is made, it's created. It was not there, but he made it. And so the Bible says, when he says that he was in the world, that's a significant statement, that the one who is outside of the world, who created it, would be in the world. And that's what he came, why he came to be in the world, and the world was made by it, and the world knew him not. What a wonder, isn't it, that the world was made by him, but when he was in the world knew him not. It's peculiar, isn't it, that he is the author of the world, and the world doesn't know who its author is. He says, verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Now, we know that you could read Hebrews 1, right? God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so he expounds on the Son. And so we know that Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 1, is the express image of the glory of God. And so if we are to know God, we have to know Christ. And we can't know God unless we know Christ. And that's the point. When he says to Philip, he says, "Show us the Father." And you remember what Jesus said, "How long have I been with you? Hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And so those who claim to know God but don't go through the Son do not know God. They do not know God. It's only through the Son. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man. It's the man, Christ Jesus. There's no other way. And here, as he says that when the Word was made flesh and He dwelt among us, now He mentions we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's certainly the element that Christ in flesh, when He was robed in flesh, we understand the flesh is not who He is, the flesh itself. That's what He was made. He was not that, but He was made flesh, made of a woman. But there's an instance, remember, when He brought them on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw His glory. They saw that He was not just a man, but He was God. That's why it was ridiculous for the proposal. Well, let's build three tabernacles. No, there's only one tabernacle that's needed. Now, when we beheld Him, how can we describe Jesus Christ? Well, at the end of verse 14, He says He was full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The Bible goes on to say, verse 15, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is prepared before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." All right, so much to say there, and I could spend a lot of time talking about the great doctrine of Christ, but I want to present to us and remind us of the motto for the church, and that is grace and truth. We want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and the greatness of First Day Baptist Church will never be in its size or in its buildings, but it will be in its sort. And the sort of church that we want to be is to be like Christ. And Christ was full of grace and truth. Full. Now, it's not, when the Bible says He was full, it doesn't mean that He was 50% truth and 50% grace. It means that He was 100% truth and 100% grace. And full of both. Now, the reason why I think it's important here is because of the day we live in. I think we all know that there is a lack of truth in the world. There is also a lack of truth in churches. That's evident. You speak to people who go to a certain amount of church and they don't know the truth, the basic truth about Jesus Christ, about the gospel, about what Jesus Christ came to do. Now, the truth is, about the truth, is that it is offensive. And it is rejected. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. On several occasions, the Bible says that never man spake like this man. He spake as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. And so, there was truth in Him, but we know that in great part, the truth that He preached was rejected. You remember on certain occasions when Jesus Christ was preaching the truth, people left. Why? Because they were offended. They were hard sayings. Now, the truth will offend, and Jesus Christ was full of truth. Now, we know today that the church, this church, is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. The entity that has the truth today is to be the church, right? It's not the government. It's the church. The church possesses the truth. Now, the truth is not what we make of it. It's right here. It's the truth of God's Word. So the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And so we know that. And we should, as believers, we should learn the truth of God's Word. We should discover the truth. We should contend for the truth, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's the book of Jude. And we should propagate the truth. During the time of the apostles, Jerusalem was filled with the doctrine of the apostles. So they propagated the truth. At the beginning in Acts, you see the progression. They sat at the apostles' feet daily, and they learned the truth. Then they learned to contend for the truth, and then they learned to propagate the truth. And so they expose false doctrine many times. You know, Acts 15 is an example of that, the doctrine of salvation. And so they not only had to learn it, they had to contend for it, but then also they had to propagate it. And that's what we have to do as a church. We have to be full of truth. The lighthouse in the community is to be the church. So we have the truth. It's right here. We have to be full of the truth. Now, if the church is to be full of the truth, the building itself it cannot be full of truth. But its members can be full of the truth. So Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. And so we have the truth, and that's evident. But there's another element, and that is grace. He was full of grace and truth. Now, I mentioned the truth first, but grace comes first in the Bible. Right? He was full of grace and truth. So, grace is the idea of graciousness, that he was full of graciousness. He was gracious. You read through the life of Christ, and here what the context is the fact that the Word was made flesh. And so, in his interaction with men, he was full of grace. Children were able to come to him. Remember when the disciples rebuked the children and said, "No, let the children come unto me." You remember when people who were sinners, Jesus spent time with them. The woman that was a sinner and who washed his feet, she was criticized. And so the people who in society were the most outcast and the most rejected, they felt welcome in the presence of Jesus Christ. Unworthy, but welcomed. To me, that's significant. And so, and we're talking about a holy God in the flesh, eating and sitting with sinners. And by the way, that's all of us. All right, so let's we look at some person outside the church. Oh, look at the sinners. That's us. And we are welcome into his presence. And so he was full of grace. And so we have to be a gracious people. We must be gracious. Now, graciousness does not mean that we forsake the truth. It does not mean that we try to make the truth more palatable. Okay? When the Bible says Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth, the spirit that was in Christ was a spirit of graciousness. But yet he delivered the truth, and people were offended by the truth. And so in our day, in today's society, we know that people will be offended by the truth. And so we know while people will be offended by the truth, may they never be offended by our lack of grace. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Now, I believe that every word of the Bible is important, but also the order in which we find is important. And so the Bible says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. He repeats that in verse 17 when he says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace comes first. And so I believe here that the spirit that ought to be in us before the truth is presented is a spirit of graciousness, of understanding, patience, long-suffering. I think we could say everything that is part of the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Against such there is no law. And so the Spirit, we have to adopt the Spirit of Christ. And then we present the truth. Right? Now here's the problem today. Some people, they claim to adopt the Spirit of Christ, but they don't deliver the truth. The Spirit of grace is not needed if you don't have the truth. Right? Because at that point, you're just deceiving people. You're attracting people to your personality, and you're not presenting the truth. Both are, remember, 100%. He was full of both. And so sometimes people use one against the other. They'll use truth against grace, and they'll use grace against truth. They'll say, "Well, I have the truth, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how I present it." No, that's false. And some people say, "Well, all that matters is that we love each other." So let's not concern ourselves with doctrine. You see, there's a danger on both ends. And there are people who are engaging in both avenues in one of those extremes. And what I want for us as a church, what I want First State Baptist Church to be known for, is to be like Christ. And that means that we must be full of grace and truth. We must exhibit the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and we must learn, contend for, and propagate the truth, and be unashamed of the truth. And so, while people may be offended by the truth, they should never be offended by our lack of graciousness. And so may the Lord help us with that.